Compass FM, Matt Ducey in the studio. How you going there, Matt?
Good morning, Kerry. Good morning to all your listeners this morning. I just want to say a big gold star to all the parents out there who have survived week one of school holidays. Good on you. You're doing well. Keep it up.
Brilliant. And he's hoping that they get at least a bronze for next week to carry on with the sterling work that they're doing at home.
Hey, why wouldn't the teacher allow the kids to whisper in class?
Oh, no. Well, this is unexpected.
Because it wasn't allowed.
Oh, that's absolutely tragic. That's tragic. Matt Ducey, local MP for Waimakariri, but also a very senior member, minister in the government of New Zealand. You're the ACC minister, the mental health minister, tourism, hospitality, youth?
Youth.
And associate minister. So, serious question. You only get one salary for that, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's all we need to know about that.
And some would probably say too much.
Some would, actually. Mental health ministry, how is it going?
Oh, good. It's not an actual ministry. We haven't established a new mental health ministry. We decided another government department would actually just silo and isolate mental health more. So it's a standalone role. I'm responsible for about the $2.5 billion ring fence for mental health funding through the health department, but also working with my colleagues about how we're developing better mental health and, say, education within prisons, within corrections, within housing, and working with all the government departments. And you get what's called an all of government approach as well. So that's something I'm really excited about, setting it up. I'm excited to what might potentially be ahead in the budget for mental health as well. So, yeah.
Because you're having a cabinet meeting on Monday, I believe. I read in the press somewhere along the line that cabinet Monday for the budget?
Yeah, so we meet every Monday in cabinet, primarily in person when the House is sitting, and then in recess weeks. I was up there this Monday as well. Cabinet is an important time. Obviously, we're making decisions for the country, and it's important that we take that respectfully.
Okay, right. So let's have a look at one of the questions I asked you about last time that you're in here, and that is to do with mental health and prisoners who may or may not have been in the mental health system prior to being sentenced into prison itself. I asked you how many people there were. Did you actually find out how many the people that are in that situation that have been exposed to the mental health system before they were even put into prison?
Yeah, I've asked that question, but I haven't got the answer back yet. Okay. So they're expecting to be able to give that to me in the next couple of weeks. So I'll be off to bring that here because it's a very important question, I think, when we look at how we support people to rehabilitate and to prevent recidivism, which means repeat offending.
Yep.
I'm a firm believer that when people are incarcerated, it is done because of public safety. But equally, we should be ensuring we do everything possible with that person, whether it be literacy or mental health or other issues that are interfacing with their offending, so it puts them on the right track.
I can hear people in my headphones now going, where's the money to pay for all of this?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Corrections has a budget for mental health. That's something I'm working with my colleague Mark Mitchell, who's the Corrections Minister as well. I've obviously got that ring fence funding, and we want to ensure that we prioritise any spending on mental health as high value, and it actually delivers outcomes. So at the moment, I'm working through all the mental health funding to identify where it is, what it's been spent on, and whether there's any reprioritisation to higher value investment.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that story, Matt, and I appreciate you coming back and explaining that. Simeon Brown is on record saying on March 24th that this government will accept any recommendation to toll new roads. Now, let's have a chat about the Woodend Bypass. Is that going to be a toll road?
Yeah, normally tolls are used when there is an alternative route. So primarily, you can see a lot of tolls being used in Tauranga. I hear they call it these days Tauranga. But what we've got here is it will be State Highway 1, which is very different. So tolls are used for potentially new roads of alternative routes. Look, we're open to mixed investment, how we do that, and I suppose primarily the announcement for the Woodend Bypass, the Belfast to Pegasus, has been from the Land Transport Fund, but we've been very clear, whether it be infrastructure like roads or other infrastructure, we're open to innovative funding, because primarily what we want to do is just get get the infrastructure built.
Has the paperwork been put in for the Northern Bypass yet, the Woodney Bypass?
Yeah, so there was an announcement last week where the Transport Minister, Simeon Brown, released the document on the 12 new roads. Mm-hmm. For the Belfast to Pegasus, including the Woodend Bypass, the land's already been designated. And for the first time, we've seen actually in that plan that the planning, design, consent and construction will start in the first term. So all those tasks were in there, and underneath the Woodend Bypass and the Belfast to Pegasus, that's what's going to happen. And then construction will start in the first term and we'll get it done.
Okay, and Simeon Brown has also, he's one of these ministers who, after consultation and other bits and pieces, he is one, along with Chris Bishop and I think Shane Jones, that can just rubber stamp something without any consultation. Is that right? So this is going to go ahead.
Oh, the fast track consent?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't say kind of rubber stamp with any consideration, but I mean, in the end of the day, we're elected representatives, so we're mindful of the public's views on things. But we made it very clear when we went through the election, we stood on a platform of the next roads of national significance. I advocated very strongly for the Belfast to Pegasus, including the Woodend Bypass, to be included in that. Mm-hmm. We did, and now it will start construction in this term.
Looking forward to it, yeah. And I would imagine thousands are. The health hub in Rangiora, is it been put on hold?
Yeah, I'm a bit confused about this myself. I read about it in the front page of the North Canterbury News and got on David Hill. He's a good local reporter. He understands the community's needs and concerns. This health hub dates back to a petition I took in 2019. Mm-hmm. And it was announced by CDHB then that we would have after-hours healthcare. And sadly, the person I supported that petition with, Sandy McLean, has now passed away, and she won't be able to see that health hub been opened. But what we've seen since is a lot of stagnation, a lot of excuses. The last information we got last year was the consents would be signed off in March this year, be open in next year. But what we see now from David Hill's reporting, and sadly it seems to be stuck with the council, and March has come and gone, and we're just going to say, how long more do we need to wait? So I'm going to have a talk to what is called Health New Zealand now, to see if we can start progressing that, because I just frankly think it's getting ridiculous.
Two more questions from me, Matt, and thanks for coming on. Matt Ducey, MP for Waimakariri. Tourism opportunities in the Waimakariri. You're the tourism minister. Okay, what are we going to do? You must have some sort of plan. People are coming to you with tourism ideas for Waimakariri.
Not necessarily me. So the first thing I'd say is we've seen tourism bounce back since COVID. Literally, our tourism operators had the tap turned off overnight. Mm-hmm. We're tracking at probably about 80 to 83% of pre-COVID levels of visitor numbers, which is really exciting. I think for our tourist operators, we should be patting them on the back, because tourism is our second biggest export earner in New Zealand, brings billions of dollars into the local economy. So what we have a structure in New Zealand, we have what's called regional tourism organisations, and for a lot of them, they similarly match the jurisdiction of local councils. And what they do is put forward what's called destination management plans, and part of the approach is to work out how much the community wants tourism, what are the attractions they want to offer, and how do they support it as well. So something at my level of central government, I've been very keen to work with councils. I went and spoke to the local government New Zealand conference last week in Wellington. There was a couple of hundred mayors and deputies, Dan Gordon, Murray Black were there.
Yep.
And so what we're doing is supporting them, because what we do know with tourism is that tourism can go into the smaller regional and rural towns of New Zealand.
Yes.
And you'll get tourists, they'll buy a coffee, stay the night, maybe work behind the bar. Mm-hmm. And so what's really exciting in a place like New Zealand, where tourists want to get out and see our beautiful scenery, is that tourism can provide real jobs and incomes for communities. So a couple of weeks ago, I announced the new regional event fund, basically a $5 million fund where areas like Waimak, the West Coast, smaller rural and regional areas can apply for that to put on events to bring domestic and international visitors in.
Excellent stuff. The last question for me, Matt, is you're a parent, you've got a couple of kids. They are got a runny nose, sore throat, running a temperature. Do they go to school?
Yeah, it depends. I see David Seymour has updated their health advice around that. What we were finding is that there was quite a few kids who were staying away. Attendance is very important. Clearly, there is a threshold. I don't have it on me at the moment where the advice is to stay at home. But what this advice is saying from the medical professionals, you know, a bit of a runny nose, a kid's still able to go to school. And what we want to ultimately see is the return of attendance, because what we do know is there is a large group of young people for a number of reasons who aren't going to school. That's not good for them. It's not good for the family or the community.
Have you asked the school principals why the large group are not coming to school? Do you know that? I mean, you're not the Minister of Education, but you've got kids and they're going to school, yeah? Has there been any investigation? I would suggest to you that the majority of schools know exactly the ones that are truants and those that are a bit sick or just can't afford to go to school that week.
Yeah, look, it's like a lot of things, it's and. And you're right. Schools do know their young people. And I would say for each young person, there's a range of reasons. But what we want to do is we've set a very clear target around young people getting back to school. And then we think first it's personal responsibility. Mm. Parents need to make every step they can to get the young person back to school. And then we want to support schools themselves. And it is about resourcing them with their attendance teams. And for some schools I've visited around the country, that literally means going around and picking the young person up from the home. And sadly, and I've talked to these young people themselves, for some young people, school is a safer and better place than home.
Yeah, it is an interesting and a difficult subject to get your head around. But I appreciate you coming into Compass FM. Matt Ducey, MP for Waimakariri, and a minister of nearly everything that I can see on the front page in front of me as well. We'll have a chat to you again next month, eh?
Thanks, Kerry. Always a privilege.
Compass FM.